your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign.
Good singing, guys.
Well, without wasting time, in my previous time here at chapel, I only presented to you a part of the message the Holy Spirit had placed on my heart to deliver to you. Today, He's leading me to present to you the rest of it, simply because He wants to do something special in your heart. If you are open to Him to do what God wants Him to do in your life and circumstances today. Will you say today that your heart is opened to the Holy Spirit to do what God wants Him to do in your life and circumstances today? Amen. If you are, you can say to Him, Holy Spirit, my heart is open to you tonight. Holy Spirit, my heart is open to you tonight. Well, last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday, when the Holy Spirit showed up in power and worked wonders in the hearts of those who have chosen to open up to Him. On that day of Pentecost, the Spirit came in power to the point that Peter, a man who was fearful of a little servant girl, would stand before thousands of people and declare the gospel message in power. He was open to the Holy Spirit. And that is what I desire for you and me tonight, that you be open to the Holy Spirit. And if you are truly open to the Holy Spirit tonight, you can expect the Holy Spirit to show up and accomplish what God wants Him to do in your life and circumstances today. You know why? It's because God does business with those who mean business with Him. He doesn't waste His power on people who don't mean business with Him, who just have lip service to God. Well, our message comes from the Gospel of Mark. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. And will you please listen carefully as I recite this passage from the updated New American Standard Bible. The Bible says there, on that day, when evening came, He said to them, let us go over to the other side, leaving the crowd. They took Him along with them in the boat, just as He was, and other boats were with Him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus Himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke Him and said to Him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And He said to them, why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith? Then they became very much afraid and said to one another, Who then is this that a wind and the sea obey him? Who then is this that a wind and a sea obey him? This is the word of God to the people of God, and may the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. Well, now please listen carefully to the heart of the story I've just recited to you. It is simply this. Jesus' presence, remember we just sang in a song that my heart will only mention the name of Jesus. Well, here in this story, we see why it is important to look to Jesus. Jesus' presence with the believer in the storms of life is a life preserver that keeps the soul from sinking in a sea of trouble. I tell you, friends, if Jesus is in your boat, that is in your life, no storm can sink your boat. Not only that, Jesus will reveal more of himself to you in your storm, for you to grow closer to him and to know him better. As we learned in our previous meeting, the Holy Spirit turned our attention to the directive of Jesus in verse 35. He gave them a directive to go to the other side, being the one in command and in charge, being the one who has supreme and sovereign authority. The Lord Jesus gave a specific instruction to his disciples to follow. He directed them to leave the territory of Galilee, that is the western shore, to go to the region of the Gerasenes on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee. May I say to you today that the same Jesus who gave a specific order to his disciples is doing so today. But the question is, are you listening? Are you hearing his specific instructions to you today? If not, why not? Jesus will give his disciples a privilege to share in his divine plan, telling them, let us go. Remember, he could have gone on his own, but he says, let us go together. The Holy Spirit also brought to our attention the diligence demonstrated by the disciples in obeying the directive of Jesus in verse 36. You see, the disciples could have chosen to hang out with the crowd and have a great time hanging out with the crowd, like most of you do. But they didn't make that choice. Rather, they chose to be in the company of the Christ. So, in whose company are you in today? The crowd or the Christ? I tell you, folks, no matter what you are going through today, obedience to Jesus Christ is the best choice for you to make in this life, because you've been in the company of Jesus the Christ. Well, this is where we now pick up our story to complete the message God wants me to deliver to you on this special day. Now, someone says, you've just said obedience to Jesus is the best choice to make in this life. Does that mean life will always be easy and exciting for me? Does that mean life will always be blue skies and blessings for me? Does that mean my life will always be comfortable and cozy? Does that mean a trouble-free, a trial-free, a hassle-free, a hardship-free life for me? Does that mean I will always have smooth seas and no storms? Well, I know you know the right answer to these questions. Even though the disciples obeyed Jesus Christ, yet they encountered a destructive storm threatening to take their lives. Will you please notice what the Bible says in verse 37? In verse 37 it says, and there arose what? A fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much that the boat was already filling up. Please listen. when you obey the Lord Jesus' directive for your life, it doesn't mean that the seas will always be smooth sailing for you and for me. Storms so severe, storms so furious may threaten your boat with destruction. The disciples had to learn this lesson, and they learned it so well. But you say, how do you know they've learned it so well? Well, here's how I know. Please listen carefully now. These disciples never went about preaching the so-called prosperity gospel, believing Jesus, and life will always be fun and fanfare for you. Blue skies and all blessings. None of the disciples preached such a gospel. Now I want you to understand the circumstances of the destructive storm the disciples encountered on that memorable day. You see, the Sea of Galilee, on which Jesus and his disciples were traveling by boat, is about 690 feet below sea level and surrounded by mountains. We live in the Mile High City, 5,280 feet above sea level. The Sea of Galilee's geographical location makes it susceptible to sudden violent storms. Cool air from the Mediterranean Sea, which is also called by in the Bible the Great Sea or the Western Sea, is drawn down through the narrow mountain passes and clashes with the hot, humid air lying over the lake. In other words, the Lake of Galilee was notorious for its storms. They came literally out of the blue with shattering and terrifying suddenness. However, on this occasion, the storm was so severe that it took on the properties of a hurricane. So when you are reading a fierce gale, think of Hurricane Katrina or Andrew and what it did. And you know what the disciples were facing on that memorable day of their lives. Actually, the raging and fierce storm on this occasion is not just a natural occurrence, but an evil force threatening Jesus and his disciples. Jesus muzzled it by his sovereign word of authority. But someone says, how do you know the raging storm is an evil force threatening Jesus and his disciples? Please listen. Here is how I know. In verse 39, the Bible tells us that Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." Now, it is interesting to know that the words Jesus addressed to the wind and the waves are exactly the same as he addressed to the demon-possessed man in Mark chapter 1, verse 25. There the Bible says, "And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.'" Notice, rebuked, be quiet, is the same word in the Greek that have been translated differently. You see, just as an evil demon possessed that man, so the destructive power of the storm was. Now, please understand that I'm not saying that every storm that forms has an evil force behind it. This is only in this particular passage because of the comparison of the words Jesus used in casting out the demon in a man and then using the same words in dealing with the storm. Now, one of the most interesting part of this story is that while the storm rages on in a fierce and frightful fashion, we see Jesus at peace and asleep. Will you notice what the Bible says in the first part of verse 38? It says, Jesus himself. The Bible wants to help us see what is happening to Jesus, and it says, Jesus himself. It doesn't have to say it that way, but it's trying to emphasize a point that you and I don't miss. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. Now Jesus was so exhausted from a full day of ministry and preaching that even that storm, so fierce as it was, could not wake him up. In other words, Jesus' sleeping indicates lack of fear and also great fatigue, a reminder to us of his true humanity. You see, when Jesus walked on earth, he was fully God and truly man. Actually, this is the only place in the Gospels where Jesus is said to have slept. He was weary and needed sleep like you and I, like any other man. As truly man, he was tired from a long days of teaching and was in the stern of the boat asleep on the cushion. Now someone says, what about the cushion? What do we make of it? Well, you see in these boats that Jesus and his disciples used, the place for any distinguished person is on the little seat placed at the stern where a carpet or cushions are arranged. The cushion was apparently the only cushion on board, and Jesus used it as a pillow for his head. So what we have here in this story is that Jesus was given the position in which any distinguished guest will be conveyed or transported. The helmsman, that is the person who steers the ship or the boat, stands a little farther forward on the deck, though near to the stern, in order to have a better lookout ahead. So it's like, what is happening here? You see these people here, except this lady, all these are sitting on what? Chairs with cushions. So they are the distinguished guests. And I'm the helmsman looking ahead. So Jesus was in that distinguished position. And the point here is that at least one of the disciples, the one who was at the helm of the ship, was close by Jesus to notice that he was sound asleep, even in a vicious and violent storm. Actually, this story reminds me of a prophet of God who also slept soundly through a violent storm. Who was that prophet? Can anyone help us? Jonah. Yeah, you answered. Good. Now, please understand that Jonah was fleeing from God while Jesus was following God's plan for his life. Jonah ended being thrown overboard while Jesus triumphed over the violent storm. So yes, Jonah and Jesus both slept through a storm, but their motives and outcomes were totally different. Now we all know that the disciples were seasoned fishermen who had spent their lives fishing on this lake of Galilee for many years before Jesus came to call them. But during this storm, they feared for their lives. Hence, the desperate cry of the disciples rang out in the storm. Will you notice what the Bible says in the second part of verse 38? It says, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? The disciples were used to being on the lake. No doubt they encountered several storms, but they thought this one would do them in. That is why they desperately cried out to Jesus, because they were staring death in the face. Actually, the disciples' fear of perishing in the storm is greater than their confidence in the presence of Jesus Christ. But you say, how do you know that? Well, we know this because Jesus himself clearly spoke about that in verse 40. And that is why he asked them, why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith? You see, Jesus lived with his disciples, but they underestimated him. They did not see that his power applied to their own lives and circumstances. So their desperate cry was made in a critical spirit. The frantic disciples awoke Jesus, blaming him, literally blaming him for his seeming lack of care and concern for their safety. Did Jesus not already know that there will be a storm on the way? Yes, he knew. Did Jesus not already know what he would do to calm the storm? Yes, he knew. But yet, here we see the disciples blaming Jesus. Teacher, are we to drown for all you care? You see, this indicates that they did not know who Jesus really was. Soon, the true identity of Jesus will be revealed to them. And they will be saying, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, the amazing thing in this story is that Jesus, listen carefully, because this is so important. This is so encouraging to me, and I wanted to encourage you also. The amazing thing in this story is that Jesus was so compassionate and so caring that he first dealt with the storm before dealing with their critical and fearful spirit. How compassionate and caring is Christ the Lord? The Bible says to us in James chapter 1 verse 2 to 3, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Endurance. Well, the disciples didn't count it all joy when they encountered their trial on the Sea of Galilee. They didn't say, Lord, we are considering it all joy today that a fierce storm is threatening to drown us. But we praise you that you are in the boat with us. For we know that we can go to you in all the storms of life, because the boat can never, never sink when you are in it. Well, the disciples didn't say that. But the Bible shows us the decisive response of Jesus on their behalf. The Bible says in verse 38, without wasting time, Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the sea and said to the sea, hush, be still. I tell you folks, there was no hesitation, no holding back on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ in providing his perfect solution in the storm for the disciples. The Lord Jesus was decisive, deliberate, and very determined to bring this storm under his supreme and sovereign control. Now, although miracles are hard for modern man to accept, please listen, the New Testament makes it very, very clear that Jesus is not only Lord over his church, but Lord over his creation. Jesus is the Creator Lord who controls what he has created. If Jesus was, as he claimed to be, the strong Son of God, a miracle of this kind is not inconsistent with that claim. If, on the other hand, Jesus was less than God, there is a serious problem. But thanks be to God, Jesus is equal with God and is indeed God in the flesh. Now, here is what I want to not to miss as I bring this message to a close. You see, storms, we've all experienced storms. Normally, storms subside gradually. But when the Creator gave the order, the natural elements of this storm ceased immediately. All became perfectly calm. There was a great calm on the sea. The Sovereign Lord spoke, and his creation responded. So, what does all this mean for you and me? Well, we all face storms in our lives. In fact, even as I speak, there are storms threatening to drown your life. What storm are you facing in your life today? Name your storm. Tell Jesus, I know you care, and I need your help in my storm. For some of you here, your storm is the storm of being homeless for ages. It is obvious. For others, your storm is your health. Still for others, your storm is the storm of joblessness. Even if you get a job, you can't hold it down for 2 months. It's a storm in your life. For some, your storm is that you are embroiled in a family feud. For others, your storm is a death of a loved one or a desertion of your spouse. For others, your storm is struggling to wait for God's timing to do what He's promised to do in your life. I confess to you today that I do not have the power to bring calm in your storm. But I do believe in the one who has supernatural power to calm your storm. His name is Jesus. Amen. As we sang. I believe with all my heart that He's here today. And He's willing to do a Jesus-sized work in your storm, as He did many centuries ago in the lives of His disciples. But the question to you and to me is, will you step up to the plate and cry out to Jesus today to do what He alone can do to calm your storm, whatever it may be? Remember, Jesus is compassionate and caring. He wants you to put yourself in this story and discover, just as His disciples did, that to each person who trusts in Him, Jesus reveals what? His presence, His power, His compassion, and His control in your storm and my storm. So the ball is now in your court. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and your storm is raging. In fact, we even sang a voice speaking about raging sea. Whatever storm is raging in your life today, as a believer in Jesus Christ, please step up to the plate and ask Jesus to speak in that storm that is happening in your life today. And see what Jesus will do on your behalf, because He's compassionate and He's caring. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, your storm is raging and you are headed to hell. But it doesn't have to end for you that way. Today, Jesus can calm that storm for you. So you come to me and I'll pray with you to receive Jesus, to begin a new life of being born again, a new creation in Him. So please respond quickly. Don't let anything hold you down, because this is an encouraging message to you and to me. I have my storms, and I'm asking Jesus' help. So whatever storm you are facing tonight, please step up to the plate and let God speak to you and minister to you before Carl calls you off. Are you a believer?
Absolutely.
Okay. We can pray for you. Please step up. What about the rest? Don't let your storm drown you. It will happen if you don't reach out to Jesus.